Quincy, City Council President, Councillor at Large Anne Mahoney is joining us for an update on the latest City Council meeting. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing well, staying warm.
I know it's going to be a cold one this weekend.
Here we go. Hold on, the winter's setting in.
January is
Yeah,
a tough month.
it really is. So the meeting is really kind of the first, I guess, real business meeting, right, since the swearing in?
Absolutely. Yep. It's
Yeah.
the first one's usually not a long meeting anyway, but we did have a lot of things that were coming in that were all probably mostly going to be going to committee anyway. So
Right.
with the anticipation of that, I knew it wasn't going to be a super long meeting, but it went the way it went. So
Later start time, 7:30. Is that going to be the norm?
no, I think it was just because it was a Tuesday night, and normally Monday nights we'll try to start them at 6:30. And what we're going to be trying to do is doing working committees too. So people will book their committees. We'll start with the council meeting. We'll move into the whatever meeting's booked. And if we have to, we'll come back into the council meeting.
Gotcha. Okay. So, how did it feel being at the presidency helm?
Well, it felt good. It was, it's always a little nerve-wracking because they've changed the system up a little bit from when I was chairing or vice chair of the school committee. So we had different things. So Jen helped me with that. And we did get a lot of feedback saying that they can't hear us in the microphones and, after the meeting. And I did work with QATV. So Mark's, we're going to meet, have all the counselors meet us a half an hour early at the next meeting to make sure that it's calibrated to their voices because it was ca everybody's mic was calibrated to the last council group. So we'll try to see if we can adjust those things. But, those are limitations that we may not be able to fix, but we'll try.
Okay, very good. So let's talk business. How did it go?
It went well. It started off, sadly, we started off the night. We had a great loss over the weekend with Shirley and Arthur Tobin both passing away and Jim Sheets. That's a lot in one weekend for one community. And when you really think about it, it's really sad because, our last former mayors, Bill Phelan and Tom Koch, everybody prior has now passed. And that is just it's a real sad moment in our city. And they were all really independent, great people who did what they thought was right for the city to set the city in the right direction at their time. So we celebrated in a, we celebrated taking a moment of silence in memory for their family. And then later we did speak a little bit about it. And Arthur and Shirley passed first and Arthur passed right after, which is devastating, but in some ways it's beautiful too. They're married 70 years and they will be at St. John's Church and they'll be buried at the same place that they got married, which is, in a beautiful way to send people off. And, it's a lot to take in as a community though. And Jim Sheets again, he's not in state now, he's in Pennsylvania. So we don't know really much what's happening there. But again, that's a great loss for our city.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the pleasure to know them all in
I
my
know.
career and cover both administrations. So you're right. It's certainly worth noting, and condolences
Yeah.
to their families too. Yeah.
So that was the start, and then we moved right into the business at hand. And I think the first order that was on the business was Susan Young's was safeguarding transparency for public access and making sure that the information is supplied to both the city council for proceeding. So she really is putting forward something that's saying that it's really important that when this stuff comes in, it goes into committee. We may not have all the information, but when we're in committee, we want to make sure we're having the information, not partial pieces of information or being told, we have to vote on it tonight because it's absolutely the last time we can vote on it. This first time we're seeing it and we need more information, she wants to make sure we're getting that. And it's important because, in the past, that wasn't always the case. So that went through, it went into committee.
Very good.
And then the second one was establishing safeguards to reserve protections for the financial transparency. And really, what that's about is for the last several years, we've been budgeting, very big increases in the budget. And then at the end of the year, when we're setting the tax rate, we've been using our savings account. And I think, with all due respect, I think the mayor was on record saying that he was not elected to create savings accounts. There's some financial securities that we have to do, as we all know. If we don't have a savings account or an emergency rainy day fund for ourselves at home, we can get into a lot of trouble. Well, it's just as important for the city of Quincy. And we often like to talk about how we're the CEO with at the head of the realm. Any CEO who's putting their company in the chances of losing financial risk or bankruptcy would be a problem. So we have to make sure we're not going to go bankrupt, but the taxpayers do need to know what's happening with their money and how it's being invested. And our savings does matter because the S&P will come back and downgrade us, and that will be a problem too. So that went
Okay.
into committee as well. And then the next one was establishing public participation procedures for city council meetings. Now, eight of the nine councillors all signed on to this one. This seemed like it was pretty much, it was a rule change, but where we're going to make a standard piece of the meeting at the beginning, 20 minutes total, 3 minutes per person to come up and speak to the council, public forum. We were hearing it through all of our, wherever we went on the campaign, people were saying that they wanted this. This seemed like something that we could all unify together. And surprisingly enough, that did not happen. So Noel Debono objected to it. And when you use council, when you use Rule 23 and objects, it stops the conversation. So that's what happened last night. I was rather surprised by that because, as we all know, Noel went on QATV right after the elections, hearing what everybody had to say and basically apologizing for some of the things and decisions that were made. And everybody was very clear that the way people were treated and constituents wanted to speak, that this was something that we needed to adjust. Now, many people might think, oh, they just want their people to come up. I want everybody to come up. That's how this works. We hear from everybody. We are elected by the people who choose us, but we represent everybody. And public forum shouldn't be something that we're afraid of. We should welcome. But that got objected to. So it stands on the table until the next meeting.
Dan, do you know, is there an existing council rule that allows for public participation?
There's not an existing council rule per se, but there is in the charter that says that the chair can have that, and I can put it into the agenda. There's multiple ways we can do it, but and you can add it into the rules. I was trying to do it procedurally the correct way by putting it into the rules. We can add it onto the agenda, and eventually something like this where it can become, you know, we talk about, you know, the new councillors are going to be the obstructionist, but this is something that if it continues to be something that is delayed to happen because I believe eight of the nine of us think it's the right thing to do, it will become something that's been obstructed on, and we will have discussions about that. I'll put it, we will have public commentary. I will promise you we will be having that in the future.
Okay. And your previous time on the council, do you ever recall this Rule 23 being invoked?
I don't. I know I tabled a few things, and I know that that's a rule that can be invoked. And when it's invoked, it is for that one meeting. So it will hold, it doesn't prevent the discussion. It will come back onto the agenda the next meeting. What's interesting is we're not sure what he was objecting to. So oftentimes, I've always said to people, and I've said it to the new councillors too, when you, whether it's a yes, is you're the only one voting yes or the only one voting no, it's important that the public know why you're doing that. And the same thing with an objection. If you're going to object to something, it's really important for the public to know what it is you're doing, because he wasn't even allowing the motion to be read in, so like the actual order to be read in. So nobody, people at home were like, we don't even know what got objected, what happened. It was kind of a it was a bit problematic, and it's okay because it was his choice, he can object. However, many people were confused by that, and more people were confused by the fact that, you know, he was basically apologizing to the public and saying he wants to see things done differently. And this is something that all the public wanted. So it will, like I said, it will be, I think it will adjust itself out going forward. I'm not sure what Noel was objecting to because he didn't explain it to us. I know that at the end of the meeting, I saw both the Quincy Sun and the Patriot Ledger chase him out the door. And from what I understand, he didn't have any comments. So that's up to
Okay.
him, though.
I have also reached out to Councilor DeBona for a response and have not heard back yet either. What if he objects again?
So if he objects again, I'm looking into that right now. But I believe if he objects again, we'll be able to move forward in this. He can only object once in that situation. And then also, there's other ways we can move this forward as well, because I can move to have a vote. So, but legally, I want to make sure I'm checking with that with legal, because that's what I've just, you know, I went home last night, did a little bit of reading, and that's how I understood it. There's ways to avoid that. So.
Okay, very good. Moving on to the next ordinance.
So the next one was the ordinance amending the Municipal Code, Chapter 66, Article 3, strengthening the auditor's power of the auditor. So in 2008, underneath Mayor Sheetz, they brought to the City Council back in 2008 the formation of the Chief Financial Officer and limiting the powers of the auditor. And what
Mayor
we're
Koch, you
trying.
mean, right?
Mayor Koch, yep. So Mayor Koch, that was underneath Mayor Koch. So it's 2008, Mayor Koch. And, you know, it swung the pendulum to really to the administration side. So as we always remember, all of the department heads, commissioners, whoever's working for the city works for the mayor. They're appointed by the mayor. They're there for the mayor. They're not there for the council. Although they come before us and they tell us what's happening and they will answer our questions. But, you know, they don't work for the city council. The city council is just the legislature body that gets to ask questions. The only thing that we have that's in our power is the auditor, but right now she's limited by what she can and cannot do. So if we want to audit just anything like the DIF, or if we want to audit just our budget to see how things are being spent, we don't get to see that until we do the budget at the end of the year. We should be able to, we shouldn't have to be the ones digging for something. We have the auditor, she works for us, and she can be looking through these things, and helping us navigate those questions that we have so that we can bring them to the public and explain what's happening. An example of this would be, it could have been, we didn't have to read about the statues in the newspaper. We might have, might, if the auditor was presenting it, we would know that. We would know certain things that were happening. And we should know that as counselors. We should be able to know in the bonds if there's anybody being paid a salary. We don't know that without digging. And once we dig, it's already there. It's too late. So we need to get that, we need to swing that pendulum back just a little. I know the mayor, when I spoke with him, he said he thought it was working great. And it is. It's working great for the administration. And that would be any administration. That's not, I'm not picking on an administration. I'm saying that would be great for any administration. But it's been going on since 2008, and there's been a lots of questions in the last couple of years. So we need to kind of pull back some of that strength into the council so we can really represent the people.
Okay, would that require additional staff in the auditor's office, or is this something
Well,
she could do?
but right now, it's just we're just discussing that. And if
Okay.
it need be, we would discuss that as well. So I know when it was, the auditor was it was part of the department before, and the auditor had an assistant and also had two people doing payroll and something else, I think expenses. In this particular case, I'm not looking for to take over payroll or expenses. We're just looking to be able to see what's happening, and we will assess that. As I said too, I did talk to Susan O'Connor when I was bringing this forward, explaining that this is something that I think will empower her to be able to help us. And and she said it is a lot of work, and I said we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And we haven't got to it yet, so
Okay, all right. So that went into committee.
that went into committee. Yes, everything's
Okay.
gone into committee. So the next one was, again, amending Chapter 270 for the water and sewer. This next couple of ones were for strictly for stormwater management and violations and penalties. Sometimes restaurants do, put things down the drain that they shouldn't be putting it down, and the fine is about $300 right now. But the cost of fixing those drains, or the cost of fixing is about $10,000 for the city. So what we're trying to do is increase the fines to deter this from happening. And there's going to go into committee, and we'll have a discussion. I know Councilor Young was worried about some of the small businesses, that the fees might be too high, but we have to balance what's happening to discourage people from doing things that are going to cost the city money in the long run, because it's just not sustainable. So that's one of the things that are coming back. So. And then we moved on from that to the, am I missing anything? I think amending the municipal code for job classifications for salaries. I think this was Mayor Koch's change. He had brought it into the council last end of last year in November, looking to change his salary, the salary of the mayor, from 285 to 225. And he's bringing it back to us now. And it's just strictly changing the number. And I did speak to him about that, and I said to him, I believe that there's a couple of other orders that are going to come in, and it's really about the process, and we want to be able to have a real clear process of how we get to that number. And that number would probably range at this point, because Mayor Koch has brought the number 225. It probably will range between 183 and 225, because he set the cap at 225 as opposed to 285. So I recognize that. And he also said to me, this is not about the person, it's about the position. And he feels as though it's become about the person. And it has. And we need to go back to be it about the position and the procedures, and making sure people have a say in how we run our city government and what people get paid. So that brings us to the next several ordinances that went into committee. And without these other ones, I'm not sure if that won't come out of committee. That's my concern. The next three, four were repeal of mayor's raises, the repeal of the councilor's raise, the repeal of the annual raises of elected officials, and then an order to have the city solicitor answer questions regarding raise deferments. All four of those were objected to by Councilor DeBona. And again, I just want to highlight that the very thing he was thanking people for entrusting him for his seat when he came out the night of, he is now saying he doesn't want to repeal. Now, it may not be, it might be just about the council, or it could be about all of them, I'm not sure. But we definitely do have to have this discussion, and I'm looking forward to finding a meeting of the minds that we'll be able to do this. And I think it will be a healthy one. I think there's a lot of information out there, and we'll be able to find a procedure that's able to meet the needs of everybody and find a salary number that meets the needs of everybody as well.
Okay, so how do you handle this going forward, Anne, from your position, if this continues to be objected to?
Well, this is an interesting thing, because we again that the interesting thing is, I sat down with the mayor and we spoke about how, and I totally believe this, Joe, like, we can't have a council that doesn't work with administration. So I'm not looking to be an obstructionist to the administration, but if I have questions, I will ask those questions. We just have to be fair to each other, and the council has to work the same way too. The mayor has no problem with this going forward, from what he told me, and I'm not sure what Councilor DeBona's issue is. We'll try to find that out. If he's willing to speak with us, we'll just put it forward the next time, and I'll be looking into how we can avoid any kind of obstruction from the internal side of the council. So I don't want anybody to feel that they're not being heard, though. So I'd like to talk to Councilor DeBona about that.
Okay, very good. And again, I've reached out also. He's more than welcome to speak here at QATV if he'd like as well.
No, and that's what I mean. So because he didn't explain, again, my advice to him or to anybody, if you're going to put yourself out there, you should explain why you did, so the public can understand, or at least follow up with that phone call. So we'll find out what's happening. I'll talk to him, and if there's a way we can work together, we will. And I will not allow, though, obstruction to happen both in the city council or for the administration as well. We'll work together.
Okay, very good.
So that pretty much, I think, I'm not sure, because it kind of goes, oh, there is one more. That's when we get down to the order for the location of the solar implementation at the Squanum Elementary School. That also went into committee, because the information that they provided to us had a lot of blank information in it. So rightfully so, it was asked by several of my counselors to put that into committee. The administration wanted to vote on that last night. However, we put into committee, and I think we can get all those answers, and we'll be able to move on with that. And then item number 13 was the resolve to for Mass General Law adoption of Chapter 59, Section 5C, establishing a residential property tax exemption, to which everybody signed on as well. And this is where Noel DeBona, he had some time to review everything, and he did not sign on, but he did want everybody to know, all the voters in Quincy to know, that he was signing on to that. And I think I said, good job to him for doing that, because he's signing on to that, because that is something that's been asked about for a long time. We do want to have those discussions. We've been told a lot from the administration it's not doable, but we're gonna, again, telling us, the council, it's not doable, and having a discussion in the public are two different things, and we're looking to have that discussion in the public. And again, the last thing was a gift from the Copeland Family Foundation for $5,000 to the Friends of Wollaston Beach, and we want to make sure that we're thanking the Copeland family as well. So that and we had a long time person in Squanum who passed away. Councillor Riley spoke in regards to that person, and again, the Tobins and the Sheets. So we had a couple of those as well.
Sure.
So we don't have any. I was hoping we were going to come out of that meeting last night with maybe a scheduled committee for the next meeting, but I think, because there was definitely some confusion that was going on with the objections, we will work through that. It's just as I like to say, it's a call to growing pain. We don't know where Councilor DeMoto is coming from, and we do want to make sure that the other councilors have a direction and a clear path forward, and we will find that together. So.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. With everything going into committee, why weren't there committee meetings scheduled?
I think really it was, as anything, and I say this to people all the time, the intention was to jump in to have a committee meeting, and I think the objections threw people a little bit, so they weren't sure. They wanted to take a breath, and they wanted to know what the next steps were in general. And they can set that committee meeting up at any time. It just has to be 48 hours ahead. So just not announcing it last night doesn't mean there won't be one. But I don't want to rush anybody into doing something either, because there was a reading of the rules several times. We asked Jim Timmons to come up. I realized Jim isn't, I was just asking because Council Yuan asked me to have him come up. We're going to go through some of these growing pains of asking those kinds of questions, especially when it's a new way of being able to work. And we will, as I say all the time, we will work our way through these things.
Okay, we should mention too, Counselor Jacobs had an honor for two residents, right?
Yeah, I wanted to end it with that because
Okay.
this is so he had honoring Ryan Healy and Kathy Nugent. I think Kathy Nugent was at, I'm going to forget the name of the restaurant,
It was Off the Hook.
Off the Hook,
Yes.
and she noticed somebody that was having he was having some problems, and she ran, I think the person was leaving the restaurant, and she ran back into the restaurant, and she knew Ryan Healy was there, and he came out and performed the Heimlich maneuver and saved the person's life. And what's so interesting to me, and it's just a circle of everything, the Healy family, my kids went to Campus Kinderhouse with them, and the twins are the same age as my youngest daughter, and it was just funny to see them all grown up. And I said to Amy, I had no idea your kids were all that grown up. I mean, I know my kids are, but I can't imagine. And it's just nice to see, like, to have that recognition. You know, Kathy Nugent's a longtime employee of the city. She saw something happening, and like we always say, you know, don't you don't know when you're going to be able to help somebody or do something that's good for somebody. And Ryan Healy was at the right place at the right time to help that person. And it was a nice night to be able to celebrate them. And I think that was the thing that was so nice. And it was great for me to see these young kids all grown up. But I have to say that I told Amy, I like to think of them as being little still.
Well, see, at some point, Dan, we don't get any older. That's what happens.
No, I definitely do. I mean, I see my kids. I know how old I am, but it's just, and they're all just really great, incredible young people. And I found out she's a grandmother. I'm like, I'm a little jealous of that. I'm not trying to rush my kids. Don't get any wrong ideas out there. But you know, everybody starts hearing that, you're like, oh, that would be fun. So, but yeah, it was very nice. And Kathy Nugent's not somebody who likes to be. She was kind of shy, so she doesn't really like to be. But she does a lot of great things in the city of Quincy. And more importantly, she's had a watchful eye that night. And there's nothing more scary. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but joking on something can be pretty scary. And especially in that kind of situation, you think removing yourself from that situation will make it better, but it can make it more dangerous. So thank God they were all there at the right time.
Yeah, and a well-deserved honor, so congratulations
Yes.
to them for
Yeah,
sure.
exactly.
Next meeting is when, Ann?
February 2nd is the next meeting, and you know, like I said, we're going to regroup. I will reach out to, I think, Maggie, because she's the one that had the resolves that she had the pieces that were objected to, and I'll reach out to Council DeBona, and we will work our way forward for that. And you know, I'll work my magic to find our ways to make sure that everything gets to be discussed. These are important things, and you know, everybody says it's the number for the salaries, and I say it's not the number, it's the procedures. It's really, we get better by not focusing on numbers and more about how we do the business of government for people. That's explainable, understandable, and people can get behind what that is. I think people really felt that the salary discussion was really just told to them, and that they, you know, they just didn't feel like there was a process, and we need to create that process.
All right. Really appreciate these updates. Great to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you too, Joe. You have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot. Have a one. Bye-bye.